welcome you to our worship service on this beautiful day, the second Sunday after Pentecost, and we're grateful that all of you are here. Have a few announcements and prayer requests, and then we'll enter into our worship. We are back to our normal times and Bible studies for this coming week, and we're starting a new summer Bible study. And I'm really looking forward to it, and it'll be a great time for anyone that hasn't been a part of a Bible study to jump in, because we're starting fresh and it'll go 10 weeks. But it's going to be on prayer, and we're going to look at how the church is shaped by prayer, how we're shaped by prayer, and most people in polls I've read and would say that the one area of their Christian life they know could use some attention, or they at least struggle with, is their prayer life. We get so busy. But I think this will be a great time to just, as a congregation, focus again on prayer, and I think it will be a lot of fun. So that will begin this week, either Wednesday morning at 10:30 over at Forest Community Church is where we meet, or Thursday night here. We'll start this week looking at prayer. Also, we have a new date on the back of the bulletin. Our annual ice cream social will be July the 23rd, starting at 2 p.m. at Kelly Kurtz's pool. The address is there. Please plan to attend. You can swim if you'd like. Bring ice cream if you like making ice cream, and some buy it, or bring a dessert. And make sure you invite a friend. It's a great time to be together. So that will be July the 23rd on Sunday. Any other announcements? Any announcements? Yes, Ann.
Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center is doing their baby bottle campaign, and I have a baby bottle out there if anybody wants to donate anything. I do have an extra one if you want to take one home and pass it around people you know. So anyway, it'll be here until next Sunday or this Sunday after that.
So Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center, so everyone can hear, Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center is having a fundraiser. There's a baby bottle on the back. They can put donations in, and if they write a check, just make it out to Blue Ridge Pregnancy?
Yep.
Okay. And thank you for bringing that in. That's a wonderful ministry, and make sure you see that before you leave. Barrett.
Several things. You've got a praise that yells out of pain. The first procedure got her out of that. And second is a prayer request that second procedure she needs comes sooner than it's scheduled. It's scheduled for mid-July. She really wants it in today. She has to wait like at least a week.
Well.
So pray that they get her in sooner. And she's always taking care of us. The third thing is there's some aloe plants on the little rack with the hymnals. If you'd like an aloe plant,
so there are aloe plants out on the back table if you'd like an aloe plant, and then we'll also keep Gail in prayer, and that her upcoming surgery, there'll be a cancellation that she will get. And one other announcement, Carolyn is sort of has been the storehouse of many things, and we have a box of Well t-shirts. And I know some of us have those, but if you would like a t-shirt, and they go from extra small to, I think, 3XL, but they're just fun to wear when we have events together. But there's a whole tub in the back of t-shirts. They've long since been paid for, so you don't even have to pay for them. Just don't resell them. But feel free to take some t-shirts if you'd like and find your size. Any other announcements? Prayer requests. We've heard the one about Gail. We just praise the Lord that her emergency trip to UVA and the surgery for the stent went well. And let's pray that she'll be able to have a soon second surgery. So let's keep Gail in our prayers. We also want to keep Yvette in our prayers. She didn't stay overnight at the hospital, spent most of the day at the emergency room, but it's just her AFib, and she's just not in rhythm. And at this point, she's praying for a miracle because the treatments it might be, she just wants God to fix it. She doesn't want to do any of the treatments. So keep Yvette and David in your prayers. Any other items for prayer? Martha.
I received a notification last night that Nancy Turner's surgery had gone well. They removed the tumor and multiple lymph nodes. They had the tube of the drainage tube in her throat. I think it's a miraculous thing. They have taken the tube out and she is home.
That's correct.
Doctors say, you know, they don't want people to come see her for at least 2 weeks. She needs a lot of rest. But I think that's a miracle, and thank the church for praying for my friend.
Well, we'll continue to keep Nancy in our prayers, and you let her know. And any other items of prayer? Yes, David?
Judy's not feeling well.
Let's keep Judy in our prayers. She's been not feeling well for a couple of days, so keep Judy Kinzer in our prayers. I saw a hand in the back. Andrew.
You know, I want to thank you and the church for your support and love for me during the ordination. It was a holy time. And I want to thank you and Jen and Lisa and the whole congregation that they supported us.
Well, we are blessed to have you and others that have answered that call. And part of my ministry is I love being a part of calling different people into ministry because there's a real shortage of folks that are in ministry. So we do give praise for that. Any other items? Yes, sir.
My finance manager, Stephanie, has asked our congregation to pray for her pastor. His name is Billy Swan. I don't know if you know him or not, but he found out the other day he's got cirrhosis of the liver. He's got 6 months to live.
Oh,
and he runs three different churches out in the country, three different things, Methodist churches.
So Billy Swan.
He's announcing to all these congregations this morning that we have to find a replacement because he's got 6 months to live.
Do you know him, Lisa?
No.
Reverend Billy Swan. It is Webb's, you call her your work wife. She's been here before when Webb preached, but Stephanie's pastor, Billy Swan, has cirrhosis of the liver and has a short time to live. So let's keep his family in our prayers and his congregation. Any other items of prayer? Carrie.
I have two. I spent the day with Kendra yesterday, so we can just keep her in prayer. She's having a tough time every single day. And also, my brother Ned, keep him in prayer.
So we lift up Carrie's brother Ned in prayer. Also, her niece Kendra, she's the one that her 21-year-old daughter died a month or so ago. So keep Kendra and Ned in our prayers. Cher.
We have a friend that has a friend in a spinal pneumonia.
So a friend of. A friend of a friend who has viral pneumonia. Okay, anyone else for prayer? Robert.
I'm going to keep Heather in prayers, and next week is her birthday.
That's right, you were going to give me her address.
I did.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to you. Take out a pen and write this down and bombard Heather. May I share what happened yesterday? She's at the center up in Leesburg, and it's been going well, but Heather tried to, yesterday she choked herself until she passed out. So let's just keep her in our prayers and entire family. And let's bombard her with birthday cards for this coming week. What day is her birthday?
Friday.
So you've got a couple days to put it in. But here we go. It'd be Heather Wright, North Spring Behavioral Healthcare. North Spring Behavioral Healthcare. 42009 Victory Lane, Leesburg, Virginia. And the zip is not on here. That's why I wasn't going to read it, because you hadn't made it complete. That's right. I'll tell you what I'll do. Remind me, Sherry, and this afternoon I will send it out to the email list. So, and if you're not on our email list and you want to be, let Carol or Gail or me know. But I'll send that out with the zip code this afternoon. Or some of you creative ones probably can find it on your Google on your phone before I do that. So let's make sure we let Heather know we care for her and we love her.
Do we need to know where she's located in the hospital?
No, it's all hooked together.
And, you know, our prayers are wonderful, but our lived out prayers are also essential. So we need to not only lift Heather up, but we need to put, as D.L. Moody said, shoe leather to those prayers and let her know that we care about her, we love her, and miss her. Thank you, buddy.
The zip code is 20176.
20176.
Yes.
20176. And I'll have this in my pocket if I don't lose it. And if you need to see it after the service, I'll pull it out again. All right. Anyone else? Well, we're grateful that we're all here. We gather as one for worship. But just like you would at a good family reunion or when you haven't seen people you love for a while, before we get down to business, we catch up and we see how the family's going, and we share each other's concerns and praises. So let's do that now as we go to the Lord in prayer, then we'll begin our worship. Our gracious Lord, we just thank you for not only saving our souls, but calling us unto yourself as a body. So we not only have redemption from the one mediator between the Father and us, but we also have community, true fellowship through Christ, the one mediator between us and each other. When you bid us to come, you bid us to come together as a family. And we thank you that in this church, the needs and the concerns and the care for each other and for those that we care about is a primary part of who we are. It's far more than learning religious truth, as important as that is, or establishing some place of worship, as important as that is. But it's also, as the early church did, attending to the needs of those that we care for. And we're grateful that I'm grateful that you've given this congregation a heart for each other and for other people. So we bring these and cast them before you, asking that in your eternally wise counsel that you will care for each one. We thank you that the surgery for Gail went well and that the pain has been kept pretty much at bay. But we do pray that there would be a cancellation, that she could have the second surgery that would correct it sooner than later. And we just pray that you'll work the logistics out for that. We thank you for Yvette, and we just pray that you will continue to strengthen her, and may she be in rhythm. We thank you for how well it went with Nancy and her rapidity in coming home and being there and just doing so well. We just thank you for her and pray that you'll continue to be with Nancy. We pray that you'd be with Judy. Just uphold her, strengthen her, we pray. We bind our hearts to Stephanie and all the other family and congregants of Billy Swain. We just lift him up. We just pray that you'll make this transition be peaceful, and that he'll have active and rich ministry and life until that time that he steps into the next. And just be with his congregation, be with his family, be with all those that are shocked and are hurting. Comfort them. We pray that you would be with Ned. Just be with whatever concerns and issues that are involving him. We pray that you'll continue to be with Kendra and Mark and the loss of their daughter, and just pray that you'll strengthen them. We give you thanks that Darby got a good report this past week of no sign of cancer. So we give you thanks for the good word with Darby. We also pray that you would be with Sherry's friend's friend who has a viral pneumonia. I just pray that you'll strengthen and comfort them. We also pray that you would shower your mercy and your attention upon the person or situation that comes to our heart at this moment. Work in that situation, we pray, Lord. We commit it to you. And we're grateful that the one whose eyes are upon the sparrow, the least of those, are even more upon those created in your image. We thank you for your love and for the access we have together into your presence through your name alone. Amen. If you'll look with me on the front of the bulletin, as always, we gather only in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore with us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. You'll look with me to the interior, the insert. We'll use a portion of the longest psalm, Psalm 119, before we stand and sing hymn 440, Here I Am, Lord. Let us call each to worship. O Lord, you have dealt graciously with your servant according to your word.
Teach me discernment and knowledge, for I have believed in your commandments.
Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word.
You are good, and you will bring forth good. Instruct me in your statutes.
The proud have smeared me with lies, but I will keep your commandments with my whole heart.
Their heart is gross and fat, but my delight is in your law.
It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes.
The law of your mouth is dearer to me than the thousands in gold and silver.
Thank you.
first reading is from Hosea 5:15-6. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore I have hung them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light, for I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings.
Thank you.
besides you, nothing is strong or holy. Multiply your mercy and guide us, that while using the good things of this fleeting life, we do not lose hold of the things that endure forever. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from Romans 4:13-25. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be the heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be their heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. I hope he believed against hope, in hope he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told. So shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Amen.
Thank you. Shepherd, who leads us, feeds us, protects us, and carries us home. We give you thanks above all things. Amen.
Gospel reading is Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace be to you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you believe everything you hear? Do you believe everything you heard from maybe authority figures growing up? Do you think that everything that you've been taught is exactly correct? Well, I want to say that there's a lot of things that we think as Christians are in the Scripture, and they're not in the Scripture. And we hear them bandied about, we say them often, and they're fictitious. They're not found in Scripture, and they're sometimes not even true. Let me give you a couple. God helps those who help themselves. Well, most of us know that while there's no value in sloth or laziness, the whole message of the gospel is that God helps those who can't help themselves. You do what you can do, and God will do the rest. God is angry at you. Or, the Christian life is about becoming more and more righteous or becoming more and more perfect. One denomination, even in the vows of ordination for their ministers, they have to pledge, and it used to be all the members had to pledge that they would go on towards perfection. Or God takes us home to be stars or angels. I hate to speak against It's a Wonderful Life, but you do not become angels when we pass on. That would be a step down if we understand Scriptures for us. So the problem with believing things that aren't true as though they were is the confusion of not believing things that are true that are true. And there are three truths that may sound contradiction, or they don't sound right. There are three truths, counterintuitive. There are three truths that may sound counterintuitive to what we think we know, but they're important truths, and they're truths that come from this Scripture. And I'd like to look at them very simply this morning in Matthew 9. This is the original calling of the disciples through this, and in particular, the calling of Matthew. If you read in Mark and Luke, you'll see he's called Levi. Mark and Luke use his tribal name, Levi. He's from the tribe of Levi, where Matthew uses his given name, Matthew. So that's the same person. But there are three truths I want to simply look at in this passage that Jen read to us today from the gospel. And the first truth is Jesus comes for the sinners, not for the righteous. Jesus comes for sinners, not the righteous. And you probably are saying, well, I know that. We sing a song, Jesus, friend of sinners. It's actually a contemporary song about he's a friend of sinners. But what I'm going to suggest to you is that we have an inability to comprehend how absolutely offensive that would have been to the first century Jews. See, we hear this after 2,000 years of Christian ease. We've heard it all our life that Jesus loves sinners. But in that day, to befriend a sinner, we cannot imagine the offensiveness of it. I would suggest to you it is literally, other than the divine plan of God for our salvation, from their perspective, what they found most offensive is that he not only claimed to be God himself, but he associated with sinners. Because the Jew knew, you stay away from sinners. You avoid those that might make you profane. Your holiness demanded that you stay away from sinners. How dare you go to places where sinners would be? In fact, if you came across a sinner, you know this from one of Jesus' most famous parables, the Good Samaritan, you were bound by your religious devotion and commitment. You were bound by the law that if you saw a sinner, what were you to do? Cross the road. See, we fault the Levite and the priest in the Good Samaritan parable because they did exactly what the law required them to do. They did exactly what they had been told all my life from a wee child. As Deuteronomy 6 would call you to do, I've been instructed in this law, and it's instructed me to never associate with sinners. And now you're telling me God himself has taken up a body, and he's doing exactly, intentionally, constantly, what I've been told is sinful. You look at Jesus, he goes straight to the person that society would have hated the most as a sinner. Now, if you've got your Bible, look, sin is really the theme here. It's paralleled in last week's reading, Matthew 9, verses 2 through 8. The word harmata, which is the Greek word for sin, is used three times. So in chapter 9, verses 2 to 8, the word for sin is used three times. In the passage that was read to us this morning, 9 through 13, harmatolos, or sinner, is mentioned three times. So we avoid talking about sin. We don't want to mention it. We don't want to associate with it. I remind us that our Savior was made sin to save us. And in his life, he befriended sinners. And we see that as his call, this tax collector. The tax collector, let me explain to you how this worked. And so you'll see how hated they were. And we don't even like IRS people anyway. I mean, I hope no one works for them. But nobody wants to grow up and work for the IRS. But it's even worse then, because what the Roman Empire did, they had tolls. There were three different taxes, a land tax, a head tax, and different duties on things. But they would hire Jewish people to extract. They were sometimes called toll farmers. They were hired Jews to extract the tolls from their own people and give to the Roman government. So out of the gate, tax collectors were seen by the Jewish community as being traitors. You've gone to work for the Roman Empire that's oppressing us. And on top of that, Rome didn't care how much you collected as long as they got their share. So these tax collectors were also not only traitors, they were also corrupt. Because they would often We can read in Josephus and other places, they would often extract 4 and 5 times more than necessary and pocket the difference. So they were not only traitors, but they were stealing from their own people. They were hated. And this is where Jesus came. And it's interesting, Jesus didn't come to Matthew because Matthew saw Jesus. Jesus walked up to Matthew and basically gave him a royal command. Hey, you follow me. I can imagine Matthew would say, you don't know who you're talking about. Most people don't want to associate with me, and you want me to follow you? You want me to be a part of your band? You say you have all wisdom, but you must not know it all because you don't know how bad I am. And brothers and sisters, I hope you have at times wondered if the Almighty's omniscience maybe skipped a beat when they came to you. I hope sometimes you think, you know, God really doesn't know me that well. Because if he really knew me that well, he wouldn't love and show mercy to me if he really knew me. The most beautiful passage, one of the most beautiful, is Psalm 103 that David penned after he confessed his sins with Bathsheba. And it's got that beautiful, the mercies of the Lord endures forever. It's a beautiful word picture. I put your sins as far as the east is from the west. You're completely forgiven. But one of the things I like the most in that is it says, talking to God, you know my frame. You know I am weak. One of the things I like to know is that before God called me to be a pastor, he knew how flawed I was. He knew how sinful I was. He knew how stupid I can be. And brothers and sisters, when you wonder if you're pulling a fast one on God because he obviously doesn't know all the bad about you, he knows everything about you. He knows we are sinners. And he loves sinners. He came for sinners. Sinners are those that he came for. And it's partly because sinners are more real. When you pretend like you're righteous, you're not being real at all. And God is a God of truth. So reality is important to God because he created it. I'll give you an example. If you go home today and you walk into your home and you realize a thief has broken in, vandalized many things, stolen precious things, and torn up your house, and if you immediately say, well, praise the Lord, you're not being spiritual. And when we labor under this pietistic pretense that we have to vainly act unreal, it not only goes against human psyche and common sense, it doesn't put us in a position where Jesus can resonate with us. Because our Savior, who was a friend of sinners, I do remember he also cleansed the temple, didn't he? He didn't go in and see that temple and go, well, praise the Lord. And we need to be real. And what we need to offer, like Henry Nouwen talks about in The Wounded Healer, is not to those outside of the church, those that have not responded to Christ. We don't need to present a false picture of perfection that they can see through anyway. And they can't relate to. They need to see a picture of someone that's torn and broken. Well, like we read in Hosea, torn and broken, but we're put back together through Christ. So the first thing we see is that Jesus came for sinners. That's what he's here for. The second thing I want to see from this is that the righteous, and I use that in quote, for there is no righteous other than Christ, God's good people, the righteous, can cause great harm. Almost every week I come across someone who's no longer a part of hearing the gospel or church where there's the word and sacraments preached, and most 99% of the time it's because of some hurt that has happened by the righteous against them. And righteous people, as we see here in this passage, these righteous people, the Pharisees are called, it's interesting, they didn't truly want an answer. If you look here, when they saw Jesus reclining, having a party, being with these sinners and tax collectors, if the Pharisees really wondered why Jesus was doing it, to whom would the Pharisees address their question? To Jesus himself. They don't want an answer. They want to stir up strife. Because they don't say it to Jesus. They ask his disciples. And it's interesting. Have you ever had someone who had an issue with you and they didn't talk to you, they talked to someone else? We call that gossip. And Paul says it's the most horrific and heinous sin if you look at that listed in the New Testament. And the punishment, it's an evil one that sows discord among the brethren. See that it brings discord and it brings competition. It's who can keep better the law. And as Tom read to us in Romans 4, there's no justification through keeping the law. Righteousness, our personal righteousness, is not the goal, it's the problem. As Isaiah says, it's filthy rags. It needs to be repented of. And if we, this is my own contention, if Christians stop acting like we were righteous and just confess to the world that we're rank sinners and the only one who's righteous is Christ Jesus, we might see some revival. The church is not a respectability club where we're here because we earned the right. What is the first thing we do when we come into this building, when we start our worship? Confession. The very first thing we do corporately is we confess. And we confess together. If you ever go to a church and when it comes to the confession of sin, the pastor doesn't read along with you, we confess together. And we know that we receive God's forgiveness. And then the third and final truth that we see here is that believers are simply those who follow Jesus. Believers are simply those who follow Jesus. There's one qualification to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You have to be a sinner. And you say, well, everyone's a sinner. Well, let me tighten up my answer. You have to know you are a sinner. It is true that everyone is a sinner, but those who think they're not, those who say they have no need to confess, those that think they're doing quite well, thank you very much, they don't look for a physician because they don't know they're sick and broken. But those that are, they're looking. And they're looking for someone who will show love. I was reading in John 3 this past week. And we know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And then an equally important verse is overshadowed, verse 17. Do you remember what it says? For he did not come into the world to condemn the world. And it sort of hit me that if God didn't send Jesus to condemn the world, I doubt he's sending the church out to condemn the world. Brothers and sisters, you know me. You know that I value good theology and accurate theology. You know me. You know I value church attendance and active participation at Word and Sacrament. You know me. You know that I believe that the spiritual disciplines are important and discipleship is important. But you also know the Word of God where Jesus says in John 13, They will know you are my disciples by your impeccable theology. They will know you are my disciples because you're at church every Sunday. They will know you are my disciples because you really have grown in holiness and discipleship. You know what it says. They will know you are my disciples by what? Your love. The love we have for Jesus Christ and what love we have for hurting people that need that message. My call for all of us is this coming week, give what you've received. You've not received condemnation, so don't give it. You've not received wrath and anger, so don't give it. You've not received judgmental arrogance, so don't give it. You've received love, and you've received forgiveness, and you've received an extended hand that's nail printed. Please give that, what you've received, to wherever you are planted this week. Amen? Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Faithful God, we rejoice in spirit and in truth to celebrate the weight of your glory. For even when we perceive you with foolish and self-seeking hearts, you still redeem our waywardness with your grace. You destined us from before the foundation of the world to be your companions through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through your chosen people sought to be like other nations. And though your church forgets that its foundation and purpose is you, still you do not forget us. Through your Son's cross, you dismantled the power of sin and death and made a new family of all who do your will. And so with glad and grateful hearts, we sing your unending praise with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. Holy, holy,
holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of incarnation, in Jesus you made an earthly tent in which to dwell among us. You raised him from the dead that we might tabernacle with you forever. Make yourself known among us today in this tent of meeting you set up with us. Through your Holy Spirit, make the crucified and risen Lord really present to us. Make us holy through him that we might behold your glory. By the same Spirit that sanctifies this bread as the very body and blood of Christ, and this blood as the very blood of your dear Son, that we may be made your body, and that we may become one in Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, Again, he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Liberating God, visit your children who are enslaved by the harshness of others. Raise up your people when their sons are pressed into servitude and their daughters are made playthings of the powerful. Transform the hearts of rulers that they may use their power to set people free and exert their influence to promote flourishing life for all under their authority. Unshackle any who live under the shadow of oppression and let them go until the day you bring us into your one eternal presence, transforming every sorrow and sin and suffering in the fullness of your glory beyond all measure. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A God who became flesh. From the very beginning, the concept, the truth of incarnation was offensive. That the Creator would take on the created. Then the fact that he did so, born of a woman, born under law, to live and suffer and to die as a sinner, cursed on a cross. No wonder they thought it was scandalous. No wonder they thought it was nonsensical. But with Tertullian, we glory in believing what the world considers absurd, that a holy God would love you and me enough to give himself for us. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come to this, his table, offered to all who love him, and come to find him as he promised he would be, his very body, his very blood, given for you. We practice by intention. You can come forth after that. There will be people to pray with you. If you would like a prayer, just come thanking God that Jesus Christ is sacrificed, our Passover lamb. Come keep the feast. Of Christ. you, our Father, for your wondrous love showered upon us in creation, in redemption, and in the beautiful promise that we are sealed until the day of full redemption. In a world in which there is little that doesn't change, we cling to the absolute promise and to the experience that we know that in looking back, there have been many times we were unfaithful, but you are always faithful. And looking forward, we know this will be our reality because it is your promise and your word is eternally settled in the heavens. Our only hope and our total security. We thank you for your love. Through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship together with the final hymn. Service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord. Thanks be to God.